Verse 12, "But as I am, for I am as ye are." Up to this point, Paul has been occupied with the doctrinal aspect of the apostasy of the Galatians. He did not conceal his disappointment at their lack of stability. He had rebuked them. He had called them fools, crucifiers of Christ, etc. Now that the more important part of his epistle has been finished, he realizes that he has handled the Galatians too roughly. Anxious lest he should do more harm than good, he is careful to let them see that his criticism proceeds from affection and a true apostolic concern for their welfare. He is eager to mitigate his sharp words with gentle sentiments in order to win them again. Like Paul, all pastors and ministers ought to have much sympathy for the poor straying sheep and instruct them in the spirit of meekness. They cannot be straightened out in any other way. Oversharp criticism provokes anger and despair, but no repentance. And here let us note, by the way, that true doctrine always produces concord. When men embrace errors, the tie of Christian love is broken. At the beginning of the Reformation, we were honored as the true ministers of Christ. Suddenly, certain false brethren began to hate us. We had given them no offense, no occasion to hate us. They knew then, as they know now, that ours is the singular desire to publish the gospel of Christ everywhere. What changed their attitude toward us? False doctrine. Seduced into error by the false apostles, the Galatians refused to acknowledge St. Paul as their pastor. The name and doctrine of Paul became obnoxious to them. I fear this epistle recalled very few from their error. Paul knew that the false apostles would misconstrue his censure of the Galatians to their own advantage and say, "So, this is your Paul whom you praise so much. What sweet names he is calling you in his letter. When he was with you, he acted like a father, but now he acts like a dictator." Paul knew what to expect of the false apostles, and therefore he is worried. He does not know what to say. It is hard for a man to defend his cause at a distance, especially when he has reason to think that he personally has fallen into disfavor. Verse 12, "But as I am, for I am as ye are." In beseeching the Galatians to be as he is, Paul expresses the hope that they might hold the same affection for him that he holds for them. "Perhaps I have been a little hard with you. Forgive it. Do not judge my heart according to my words." We request the same consideration for ourselves. Our way of writing is incisive and straightforward, but there is no bitterness in our heart. We seek the honor of Christ and the welfare of men. We do not hate the Pope as to wish him ill. We do not desire the death of our false brethren. We desire that they may turn from their evil ways to Christ and be saved with us. A teacher chastises the pupil to reform him. The rod hurts, but correction is necessary. A father punishes his son because he loves his son. If he did not love the lad, he would not punish him, but let him have his own way in everything until he comes to harm. Paul beseeches the Galatians to look upon his correction as a sign that he really cared for them. "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Hebrews 12:11. Although Paul seeks to soften the effect of his reproachful words, he does not take them back. When a physician administers a bitter potion to a patient, he does it to cure the patient. The fact that the medicine is bitter is no fault of the physician. The malady calls for a bitter medicine. Paul wants the Galatians to judge his words according to the situation that made them necessary. Verse 12, "Brethren, I beseech you, ye have not injured me at all." Would you call it beseeching the Galatians to call them bewitched, disobedient, crucifiers of Christ? The apostle calls it an earnest beseeching, and so it is. When a father corrects his son, it means as if he were saying, "My son, I beseech you, be a good boy." Verse 12, "Ye have not injured me at all." "I am not angry with you," says Paul. "Why should I be angry with you, since you have done me no injury at all?" To this the Galatians reply, "Why then do you say that we are perverted? that we have forsaken the true doctrine, that we are foolish, bewitched, etc., if you are not angry. We must have offended you somehow. Paul answers, You Galatians have not injured me. You have injured yourselves. I chide you not because I wish you ill. I have no reason to wish you ill. God is my witness. You have done me no wrong. On the contrary, you have been very good to me. The reason I write to you is because I love you. The bitter potion must be sweetened with honey and sugar to make it palatable. When parents have punished their children, they give them apples, pears, and other good things to show them that they mean well. Verses 13 and 14. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation which was in my flesh ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. You Galatians were very good to me. When I began to preach the gospel to you in the infirmity of my flesh and in great temptation, you were not at all offended. On the contrary, you were so loving, so kind, so friendly towards me. You received me like an angel, like Jesus himself. Indeed, the Galatians are to be commended for receiving the gospel from a man as unimposing and afflicted all around as Paul was. Whenever he preached the gospel, Jews and Gentiles raved against him. All the influential and religious people of his day denounced him. But the Galatians did not mind. That was greatly to their honor, and Paul does not neglect to praise them for it. This praise Paul bestows on none of the other churches to which he wrote. Saint Jerome and others of the ancient fathers allege this infirmity of Paul to have been some physical defect or concupiscence. Jerome and the other diagnosticians lived at a time when the church enjoyed peace and prosperity, when the bishops increased in wealth and standing, when pastors and bishops no longer sat over the word of God. No wonder they failed to understand Paul. When Paul speaks of the infirmity of his flesh, he does not mean some physical defect or carnal lust, but the sufferings and afflictions which he endured in his body. What these infirmities were, he himself explains in 2 Corinthians 12:9 and 10. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And in the 11th chapter of the same epistle, the apostle writes, In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, etc. 2 Corinthians 11:23-25. By the infirmity of his flesh, Paul meant these afflictions and not some chronic disease. He reminds the Galatians how he was always in peril at the hands of the Jews, Gentiles, and false brethren, how he suffered hunger and want. Now, the afflictions of the believers always offend people. Paul knew it and therefore has high praise for the Galatians because they overlooked his afflictions and received him like an angel. Christ forewarned the faithful against the offense of the cross, saying, Blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Matthew 11:6. Surely it is no easy thing to confess him Lord of all and Savior of the world, who was a reproach of men and despised of the people and the laughingstock of the world. Psalm 22:7. I say, to value this poor Christ, so spitefully scorned, spit upon, scourged, and crucified, more than the riches of the richest, the strength of the strongest, the wisdom of the wisest, is something. It is worth being called blessed. Paul not only had outward afflictions, but also inner spiritual afflictions. He referred to these in 2 Corinthians 7:6, Without were fightings, within were fears. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul makes mention of the restoration of Epaphroditus as a special act of mercy on the part of God, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Considering the many afflictions of Paul, we are not surprised to hear him loudly praising the Galatians for not being offended at him as others were. The world thinks us mad because we go about to comfort, to help, to save others, while we ourselves are in distress. People tell us, Physician, heal thyself. Luke 4:23. the apostle tells the Galatians that he will keep their kindness in perpetual remembrance. Indirectly, he also reminds them how much they had loved him before the invasion of the false apostles and gives them a hint that they should return to their first love for him.